Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week, as always. We'll jump right in this week, and we'll talk about the carload volumes that are really helped by the start of the grain harvest. We're really seeing that bump come in. Now that we're seeing the grain harvest really kick in, the last 2 weeks, grain volumes have really, really taken off, and that's good to see. Many of you know that grain volumes through most of the summer had struggled, that there was sort of a lull in what had been very strong volumes, and that was just because of low carrying, nothing to really worry about there. But now that the harvest is here, things have taken off yet again. And it's a little bit of an early harvest, which we expected, given all of the heat and everything else that across Canada and parts of the Midwest. Not unsurprising, but definitely something that is helping us right now with the volume levels. And service continues to be an issue. It continues to weigh on the volumes out there across the industry. If you look at intermodal volumes, you can see that we are just sort of treading water, right about 350,000 carloads a week, despite everything going on with congestion at the ports. Really, every port complex has some level of congestion right now. We're not seeing it translate into higher intermodal loadings, even though seasonally you would expect that this time of year. We haven't seen any indication that we're going to move higher, and that's consistent with what we've said in recent weeks about expecting a peak plateau as opposed to a traditional peak season, and we think that's where we are. If you look at the volume levels, you can see that we hit a sort of a peak plateau, right about 360,000 carloads a week between the end of July and the beginning of September, and now we're settling in lower than that, right at 350,000 carloads a week. But you can see a very clear plateau there in volumes, and until the carriers decide that they want to take more volume, until the carriers decide they want to pull some of those safeguards, those throttling measures out of their networks, we're going to continue to run at this level. There's nothing that says we need to go above this level if the carriers don't want to. Ultimately, the carriers are the final arbiters of that. And particularly, parcel shippers, small shippers have seen the impact of those capacity restrictions. The trailer market is operating at a low level, right about 21,000 carloads a week, below 4,000 or so, below our five-year average, and is really just following the typical seasonal pattern, just at a weak level, just at a level that we're not seeing sort of the same volumes that we had even earlier this year, again, because of all the throttling that's going on by the railroads in terms of the volumes that they want and the volumes that they will accept on their network. We think about the container market. It looks very similar to the overall intermodal market, which, again, you would expect because overall intermodal is 90% container loadings. So it's not surprising that the container market closely follows the overall market, and we are just treading water, right about just below 330,000 carloads a week, and no sign of a seasonal uptick. We're just sort of hanging out here, and we would expect that to continue either until the volume caps come off that are out there, or we see a material decline in volumes, which would be we don't expect for some time because of all the pent-up demand, all the congestion, all the freight sitting out there on the water has to move through the system at some point here in the next few weeks. So let's turn our gaze to the carload market. Carloads are seeing a little bit of upward momentum thanks to the grain markets, thanks to that early harvest I talked about in the open. You can see that we're showing the seasonal uptick, but we're still below our five-year average. We're not really making progress from where we are to where we would expect to be in our five-year average. We're right about 330,000 carloads a week, which is about 30,000 carloads below where the five-year average says we would be. And folks like to sometimes oversimplify the carload market. I've talked about it in recent weeks as being a coal problem. It's not entirely a coal problem. When you look at economically sensitive freight, we have largely the same pattern. We're about 10,000 carloads a week below our five-year average. That's about a third of the carload market delta that is economically sensitive freight. And just as a reminder, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, what we're really doing is pulling out the coal, pulling out the ag, and pulling out the petroleum to get a cleaner number, a number that is more closely tied to the underlying economy. So you can't just say it's a coal story or it's an ag story. We're really just treading water in those economically sensitive commodities, and we're just about flat with last year. We had been running, 15, 20% above last year's levels during the pandemic comparisons. That has steadily eased those comparisons. As those comparisons have stiffened, the year-over-year gains have steadily come down, and we're now essentially flat with where we were last year. There's no longer that strong upward momentum that we saw earlier in the year on the back of the easy comparison. Turning to the coal market, the coal market has basically hit what we think is its peak for this cycle. We're just under 80,000 carloads a week. We've rolled over a little bit on the four-week average basis. We've done a little more than that on the week-to-week basis. We are basically 10,000 carloads a week, 12,000 carloads a week below our five-year average. We're not going back to that five-year average number. As we've talked about with coal demand, you're going to continue to run below your five-year average. The five-year average will eventually come down. But certainly we're at strong levels relative to where we've been during the pandemic and certainly where we might expect to go going forward. For the next couple of quarters, we think we can hold the level that we're at right now. Beyond that, once you get in the second half of next year, we would expect to be lower than the levels we're at right now. Now, grain. I talked about grain in the open, and you can certainly see over the last 3 weeks, volumes have dramatically increased. They've really taken off like a shot. We're still below our five-year average, but we've certainly closed the gap. We're only about 2,000 carloads a week below our five-year average as that strong harvest begins. We've certainly seen the effect here. It's a welcome sign of the grain markets, and it's something that we expect to continue really through about February until you get to the first wave of the South American harvest, and we see what the Asian purchasers do at that time. It's expected at the moment to be a pretty decent harvest down south, so that could bring our volumes in grain back closer to five-year average levels. We'll just have to see. We'll have to see just how high the grain volumes can go before then. We expect them to continue ramping up over the next several weeks and get above our five-year average probably by the end of the month here. Chemicals volumes. This is a sector that is a great sign, the fact that we are bouncing back, the fact that the decline that we saw in September for chemicals volumes was not necessarily related to higher feedstock prices, higher natural gas prices, but instead was related to disruptions and damage that came from Hurricane Ida. As many of you know, a lot of this chemical production is along the I-10 corridor, along the Gulf Coast between Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, places like that that got really hammered by Hurricane Ida and didn't have commercial power for a long time. And so the fact that we're coming back in a volume perspective says that those facilities are getting back on their feet, getting back up and running, that it's not a reaction to doubling in feedstock cost. It's more of an episodic weather-related disruption from which we will recover as we go forward here in time. Petroleum products, which is a big part of the chemical sector, is declining a little bit. You can see volumes headed down close to 19,500 carloads a week. Certainly, they've been on a downward trajectory over the last month, but they're still within the range. They're still within that 19 to 20,000 carload a week range that they've held fairly consistently, really since the start of the second quarter. Now, we are below our five-year average for the first time in a while. We'll have to see where that goes. Crude prices are certainly supportive of crude by rail. When you talk about a crude price in the high $70 per barrel range, $78 when last I checked in the last couple of days, that should suggest that crude volumes will continue to move. But for the moment, we're just taking a little bit of a breather, a little bit of a pause but remaining ultimately within our range. And that's a good sign. We have not broken down below 19,000 carloads a week. We remain basically in steady state as far as that goes. Stone, sand, and gravel, speaking of steady state, you can see that we've really just followed our seasonal pattern for the last several months, really the last 2 months or so, and that we're just at a weak level. We're just continuing to run weak. We're continuing to run below our 5 yards by about 3,000 carloads a week. And until we see some movement here on an infrastructure bill out of Washington, D.C., and really can understand what's included in that bill, we don't expect to see that number materially move from where we are now. We expect it to just continue to follow its seasonal pattern. Lumber and wood volumes, we're increasing, but we're increasing very slowly. Very slowly, very steadily. We haven't seen a fall bump in volume before the winter. We're just kind of slowly building our way back to about 6,500 carloads a week. We're below the five-year average. This will really come down to construction. This will come down to commodity price of lumber, which has come down significantly, but also coming back in the housing market and seeing what housing does. When you look at interest rates, there's the potential for interest rates to go up pretty dramatically. We'll just have to see here what happens when it comes down to lumber and wood. We're essentially flat year over year, but definitely below our five-year average. Pulp and paper traffic. This has been a bright spot recently. There's been some volatility, some ups and downs, but generally over the last couple of months, we have been in positive territory. We have been trending up. We have been up about 10% year over year. That's a good thing. That's a suggestion that maybe we will see a robust holiday season, robust holiday season demand as people order online again, have things shipped ahead because of the supply chain disruptions. You need cardboard boxes for that. That'll create a box board demand, a pulp board demand. We'll just have to see. For the moment, we are a little bit above our five-year average and pulling away. We'll have to see if that trend holds, though. We're only within a couple hundred carloads of our five-year average, so we'll have to take a look at that as we go forward and understand exactly what the fundamentals are there. In the automotive market, we continue to see weakness. We've seen a little bit of strength in the latest week, but still very, very weak. We're negative year over year, and as we've talked about, until semiconductors start to flow and still plastic resins start to flow, this number is going to be challenged. We're going to continue to be well below our five-year average. We're more than 5,000 carloads below our five-year average at this point in time. We're really closer to about 9,000 or 10,000 carloads below our five-year average on a weekly basis. That is a very low level. Now, it will turn around when we get semiconductors, when parts come in. We would expect this number to recover strongly, but that's not expected to happen until the middle of next year. So this number is going to be lower for longer. That's really the theme in the automotive sector. Every dispatch that I see, every dispatch that I hear, pushes out when the industry expects to get semiconductors, and that pushes out when that number will recover, and that will ultimately be a anchor on carload growth later in the later half of 2021 and the early part of 2022. Now, we expect it will reverse in time to be a net positive for growth in 2022, but certainly if the semiconductor situation drags on longer than we expect, that could certainly change as we go forward in time. So to wrap up, the grain market is really sort of the driver of carload traffic here as harvest begins. It's definitely come in with a vengeance here over the last couple of weeks. It is something that we expect to continue to sustain its levels and continue its growth rates as we go through the fall, as we go into the harvest, probably through about February or so, and then something else will have to pick up the baton. The chemicals markets are getting back on their feet after Hurricane Ida disrupted production. And on the intermodal side, we're just sort of hanging out. And we're hanging out because this is where the carriers want us to be. With the throttling that's going on, with the curtailments that are going on, there's not going to be a meaningful uptick in intermodal until those curtailments come off, until they come off for good and shippers feel like they can have confidence in the carrier's desire and ability to move their freight reasonably well off of the West Coast, off of other port complexes, into the middle of the country. And with that, I'm going to wrap up. Thank you for joining us this week and every week. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. We appreciate you joining us. Certainly, if you have a chance, if you did not, were not able to join us in September for our virtual series in lieu of our big in-person gathering in Indianapolis, I would invite you to go over to our website, ftrintel.com/virtualhub. You can look at those presentations, look at what is of interest to you on the rail side, the truck side, the rail equipment side, the truck and trailer equipment side, and download those and listen to them. They're still up there for you. They're still available to you. Do take advantage. If you weren't able to join us in person last month, go out to the website and get that information that you need. Certainly, we're in very dynamic times. Those dynamic times, definitely take advantage of the intel that is out there and available to you from FTR. And with that, I'm going to wrap up this week. As always, feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team if you want to discuss the markets, discuss what's in our reports, what you're seeing in your business. We're always happy to talk about the industry, talk about what we're seeing in the marketplace. And with that, have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.